Trojan contains strong language and material that some people may find offensive.
When you fruit sack, be boot sack, then kick sharp in gob while you wish Satsuma. When your hands be warm, but only due a raging infect of the blood and the skin and the nail and the bone and the tissue bacteria ulala rouge. Well, so look at you screaming and shouting like an angry turnip, you fucked up ridiculum, most fooling to yourself, and I have no sympathy with you. And when all your remaining joy hides unnoticed in one shriveled cell at the bog bottom of the very bum tube of East Estjoffy, then welcome. Vudge, welcome. In Blue Jam. Blue Jam. Blue Jam. Blue Jam.
My name is Graham Scheiss. I'm a computer salesman.
I'm Alison Scheiss, and this is our daughter, Judy. Hello.
We've always had a strong feeling with Judy that she's really a 45-year-old man trapped in the body of a 4-year-old girl.
So she's had an operation to fit her with the penis and testicle glands of a 45-year-old man.
Let me kiss.
Look at that. See, it's perfect.
We're particularly pleased with the balls.
Yes. I think the balls are excellent. You're a lot happier with those, aren't you, love?
Step off the train, I'm walking down your street again, and past your door, but you don't live there anymore. It's you into the
thank you.
Come in. Have a seat.
Thanks.
So what seems to be the problem?
Flu. Quite a temperature.
Right.
And a cough. And just generally feeling pretty sick. I've been actually sick. Sick last night.
Right. You don't like me, do you? Why is that?
I don't like you.
Yeah. I'm perfectly decent. Got quite a lot of friends. You only ever see me when you want something.
Well,
how do you think that makes me feel? You never just pop by, do you?
Yeah, but, I mean...
I found you out, haven't I?
I mean, I do.
You know you don't. I reckon you only come and see me to try and give me germs.
Oh, come on.
Hang on a second, would you? Hello, Sarah. Yeah, just a quick question. Why do you book these people to see me? People who don't like me. You don't do that for Dr. Harris, do you? Has he ever complained about this sort of thing? Right. Well, don't do it for me either. Okay? Thank you. Right. I'll prescribe you something for the flu. And next time, I think you'd better see Dr. Harris. Bye.
Bye. No, I'm sorry.
It's too late now. Like you, so piss off.
Black or white, still one nation. We got a new vibration. Before you, which one will be your choice? I really wonder. Good love. Father is a joker, but he don't want to be with you.
Come in. All right, come sit down. What can I do for you?
Got a sprained knee.
Oh, yes. Football?
Yeah.
Painful there?
Yeah, very.
Yes, right. Well, what I'm going to do is give you 200 quid. £200, and I don't want to see you again.
You.
Okay.
Right. Thanks very much.
Not at all.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Winter comes, I spend a lot of time sitting in reception areas. It's a good way to keep warm. If you go into a large office building and ask for Mr. Harris in accounts, you can often wait up to an hour before anyone realizes there is no Mr. Harris in accounts. The seats are always soft and sometimes leathery. There are papers and magazines to read. Some companies have coffee machines and fruit. I have a friend called Martin Chope at the BBC who lets me sleep in the lobby of the World Service. He works all night because people in the Pitcairn Islands have to hear the news. I haven't actually seen my friend since 1983, but we have an arrangement whereby he calls down to reception every hour or so and asks them to tell me he's a bit busy and he'll be down in a minute. I was drowsing at the World Service one evening when a taxi driver came in and shouted, 13 Addison Gardens, West 12. He looked at me because I was the only one there. I didn't want to disappoint him, so I followed him into the taxi. I thought there might be something to eat there. There was a party going on at 13 Addison Gardens, West 12. I walked in to find a long hallway which had been entirely decorated in astroturf. It was like walking through a tubular field. At the end, there was a large room with lots of monitors showing a porno version of the Teletubbies. A lot of media people were standing round rubbing their noses and talking very fast. And in the centre of this gaggle was a comedy actor I had read about in a waiting room magazine. He was called Tony. He was standing next to a huge ice sculpture of his head. I was still hungry, so I was stuffing my pockets with crab tartlets when Tony the Star banged into me. His eyes were bulging with drugs and self-confidence. "You," he said. "Weren't you in show 6? I couldn't answer because I didn't know what he was talking about, so I carried on filling my pockets. "Yeah," said Tony. "You were fantastic, and I want to celebrate your performance with a blowjob." "You," he shouted to another actress. "Get over here and suck my cock." An actress approached him slowly, unsure whether this was a good career move. But Tony had produced a rubber vagina and was waving it about, shouting, "I don't need you anyway, you filthy whore." Tony looked at me and asked why I wasn't laughing. I still didn't know what to say, so I put a crab tartlet into my mouth and pushed in another just in case. He looked like he was going to kill me. Then suddenly he threw his arm round my shoulders and whispered, "It's because you see, isn't it? You can see everything." I swallowed a pulpy mass of crab. "I love this guy," he shouted. Then he took me round the room, introducing me to television executives and producers. By the time I got back to the crab tartlet, I had an agent, a transmittable pilot, a 5-year development deal, and someone with a mobile phone said that Jarvis Cocker wanted to meet me. Then Tony asked me in a strangely confidential way for my belt. I gave it to him and he disappeared. My pockets were full of crab, and my trousers started to slip and sag towards my knees. A man from Channel 4 came up to me and said, "If you think you're really going to get a series out of us, you've got another thing coming." "Thank you," I said, and went to look for my belt. The basement was full of people using the drug cocaine. One man seemed to be trying to introduce it to the end of his penis. Another was having his skull trepanned with a Black & Decker drill in order to get the powder straight into his brain. I went up 2 flights. At the top of the house, I heard muffled humming and the sound of running water. I carefully pushed open a door and found Tony standing on tiptoe on the edge of a bath. The room was lit by candles, and the prodigy was playing on a mini disc. Tony was naked except for 2 hairdryers taped to his thighs, blowing hot air towards his balls. And he was hanging from the shower rail with my belt round his neck. His left hand was holding onto the belt to stop him choking completely, while the right was guiding the path of the rubber vagina. "Sorry," I said. Tony lost his balance and plunged into the water. The hairdryers sparked and fizzed, and the lights blew. Tony flapped and twitched around on the end of the belt and seemed to be trying to say something. I asked if I could have my belt back, but I couldn't tell if any of the sounds he made was yes or no. I closed the door and left a note saying, "Please could I have my belt back when you've finished with it? Care of Martin Chope, BBC World Service, Bush House." And groped my way downstairs in the dark. The party looked like it was over because no one could see what they were doing. So I left and sat on a nearby bench, where I offered a tramp a crab tartlet. "I've got a transmittable pilot," I said. "Serves you right, you fucking puss," he replied. I never got my belt back, but a week later I saw a picture of it on the cover of a magazine. Thank you.
This new gun, haven't I? I've been watching him counting out the notes through the window. So here I go, straight up to the counter, and then I saw the till, right? On the side of this till, there was a plastic arsehole with a duck sticking out of it. I couldn't take my fucking eyes off it, could I? So I go to him, give me all the money, or I'll shoot the till. I said, shoot the fucking till. I mean, you see a till as a plastic arsehole with a duck sticking out of it. I mean, what the fuck would you do, eh? Right, and he's just standing there, staring at me. And I know what he's thinking, you know, but I actually looked like I meant it, didn't I? You know, I was committed. So I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I'll shoot the fucking till. And he goes, well, I'm not giving you the money. I said, fuck, you know, what, I had to shoot the fucking till. I mean, what would you do? And then I just had to walk out. What's this fucking geezer on anyway? Fucking livid, right? I kicked the shit out of some old cunt down the street. That wouldn't have happened if you'd had a proper till, would it? I mean, what a totally picked up little ass cunty puss with a plastic arsehole with a fucking duck sticking out of it! Fucking fucking arsehole fucking in my head. Fucking in my head.
Mackenzie Steve Lamack ends up with an old man in a wheelchair trying to shake hands with an elephant.
Darling, I don't think we'll be able to go to dinner with the Lartons on Friday.
Oh. Why not?
Well, I shot Bob this morning. Bloody duel in the office.
Oh, I rather liked him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So did I. Could you get that, love? Probably be Louisa wanting to talk about it. Oh, hang on. It could be Pat Turner.
Why?
Because I shot Miriam.
You shot Miriam?
Well, I was still wired after shooting Bob, and she was walking past, and I just emptied the magazine into that ruddy great back of her.
Bloody hell. Hello?
Oh, what am I doing?
Yes, he is. The police, love.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah, he has been on a bit of a spree. They say you should really be in the cell for a bit.
Well, I know exactly what they mean.
It's a bit late tonight. Hang on, I'll ask him. Do you think you're going to shoot anyone tomorrow?
I don't know.
Says he doesn't know.
How the fuck do I know? Sarah?
Yeah, it tends to be people we know.
Sarah?
I'll try. Okay. Bye.
Can you smell burning?
Oh, pan. I left a bloody pan on.
What?
Time's all over the place.
Really?
Everything's going up. You didn't know paint to burn.
Yeah. The gloss stuff's made of oil.
The whole room's going up.
Well, you'd better come back here, love. The smoke's really acrid.
Kitchen looks quite nice on fire.
I wonder if it's gone up to the boys' room.
Yeah.
I'll give Mike a call. Yeah, Mike? Sorry to call during the match. Yeah. Listen, you couldn't just crane your neck out of the window and see if we've got a fire upstairs. The boys' room. Yeah? Wow. I thought I heard banging. No, well, we've got locks on all the windows. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Mike. Sorry about Lucy. I just saw her at the garage and smoked the bitch. Yeah, I know. I'll try. All right. Cheers. Boys have had it, love.
Oh, it's a shame. I've been really looking forward to Christmas.
Could be seeing him in the school play now.
Do you think we should try and get them?
No, that'd be too far gone by the sound of it.
Yeah, and the kids at school would be pretty foul to them, those burns.
We're just gonna have to get used to it being just the two of us again.
Unless we want some more.
The ground, the ground beneath your feet. always lived here. Never moved, have we? There's much to do, is there? That's a bit, you know. Just hang around in the afternoon.
Hanging about, sir?
Sometimes we go up to the generator. Yeah, over there, see, up the street.
We go and hang around the generator.
One day he says, "Where you going?" I just set up the generator. So we all went up there, and I know we do it quite a lot.
Generator. See that doorway over there? There's a lot of unemployment there, just to the left.
What's the moon?
Shut up, Les. Sometimes we go up to the monument.
Yeah, the monument. Yeah, that's good.
Good for hanging around that.
Yeah, it's good.
One time we were really bored, so I started tugging at the monument, you know, for a laugh.
Really funny, was it?
Suddenly it swung down and all this beer came out of the house across the road.
All the people were like washed out in like a big wave of beer.
What's in the telly, was it? And there was this baby's cot. No baby in it, but he came out afterwards with a hat on.
Yeah, they all got like washed down the hill.
It was beer, but you couldn't drink it. I came back the next day with a tankard, but it didn't work again. Just this little old man came walking out from behind the monument and laughed.
Said he lived in a pram.
See that road down there? That's where they did all the black and white photos.
A load of Spanish stuff came out of the generator once.
There's the social club there.
One day a big gang of blokes, about 30 of them, came out of the social club in it, and Mike says for a laugh, "Let's round them up with a torch."
Which one's the moon?
I'm going up the monument.
No, come on up to the generator, you little bollock.
Together, but I see people flipping when there's a hit, let me weather. Now what you Hargreaves on the landlord of the Fox and Feathers in Steeple Shelfsley. I must admit when I took it over 15 years ago I never expected to end up doing this.
My name's Linda Matthews. I won $2.5 million in the lottery in March of this year. At first I was quite stuck about what to do with it.
And then one day she was in here having a beer and she just asked me how much it would cost to open the bar just for her.
I pay £500,000 a year and the pub is open for me. I've paid the other regulars £10,000 each to stay away. They seem quite happy with that.
And she comes in on her own. Sometimes she has one or two beers. A gang of darts by herself.
I go through phases with Derek of just, you know, if I decide to be friendly on a particular day, I will exchange a few niceties. Other times I'll ignore him, just order my drink and turn my back on him.
Sue Hargreaves, I do the cooking in the pub. Also, Linda likes us to make sure the men's lavatory smell of urine, so I have to stuff them over the floor every couple of days. We use our own. We funnel it into a can.
Sometimes I like to complain about the food. The young girl knows to say nobody else has complained, at which point I will say, don't be ridiculous, there's nobody else here. And usually then I will stand up, throw the food around, push her around a little bit and then storm out of the pub swearing, and that is how I like to leave the pub every 3 weeks or so. Sometimes on a Saturday I have to make myself sick into the corner. That's not so bad, but once you wanted me to do it 7 times in one evening and I actually pulled all the muscles in my throat.
The only thing I don't like is when she's feeling a bit cut up. You can tell when she's had a bad day. How she's giving out a bit of cash to the local news.
I just like to watch a really destructive fight. I know some lads who'll do anything.
They wreck the place, they smash up the bar, they blast each other. One guy is here ripped off the other week. There's a bloke that got knocked out by a flying telly. I'm still finding teeth in the carpet. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets killed one of these days.
Yeah, killed. Yeah. I think this is only the start. I've got so much bigger ideas for next year. I can't begin to tell you how much I despise people who do things for money. And how fascinated I am by what I can get them to do.
Have a seat.
Thanks. Right, what's the trouble?
Well, I keep getting these nosebleeds.
Mm-hmm. Had this trouble before?
Well, I used to at school, but I haven't for ages, really.
Mm-hmm. I see. Right, well, here's a tenner.
Mm-hmm.
Pop back if it doesn't clear up.
All right. But thanks.
If that doesn't work, just shove some soap up your ass.
So,
see if you can keep it there for a couple of days.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thanks.
Right, okay. Bye-bye. Soap.
Hmm. Biggest bar you could manage.
Right. Okay, thank you.
When you fruit sack, be boot sack, vam kick sharp in gob, while you wish satsuma. When you hands be warm, but only dew ug raging infect of the blood and the skin and the nail and the bone and the tissue bacteria bacteria ooh la la. Well, so look at you, screaming and shouting like an angry turnip, you fucked up ridiculum, most fooling to yourself, and I have no sympathy with turnip. And when all your remaining joy hides unnoticed in one shriveled cell at the bog bottom of the very bum tube of East Est Joffe, then welcome. Uvudge, welcome in Blue Jam. Blue Jam. Blue Jam. Blue Jam.
Bring about a river 5 feet long. 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 Bring about a river 5 feet long.